Jackson, W266, DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Foti in Washington. The specifics remain under court seal. Donald Trump remains at his Florida home, but this morning the ex-president is under criminal indictment in his previous hometown of New York. This in a case involving the handling and accounting of alleged hush money paid to an adult video performer.
I'm Stephen Portnoy. In all caps on his social media platform, Donald Trump calls the indictment an attack on our country, the likes of which has never been seen before. The precise counts he faces won't be known until the indictment is unsealed. The Manhattan DA's office says it's now working with Trump's attorney to coordinate his surrender. The expectation is it will happen next week. As a former president, Trump will have Secret Service protection at every step of the process.
Trump's the focus of additional investigations in Washington and Atlanta involving the 2020 election, its aftermath, and the government documents found at his Florida home. Politically,
this indictment is just as likely to help Donald Trump within the Republican Party contest than it is to hurt him. And you can tell that because of the reactions of senior Republican leaders and even some of his opponents in the presidential race.
Political analyst Larry Sabato at the University of Virginia. Another famous name in the news this morning, actress Gwyneth Paltrow winning her suit and countersuit involving a collision on a Utah ski course.
A jury quickly decided Paltrow wasn't at fault. Terry Sanderson had sued her over injuries he suffered when the two collided on a beginner run at the Deer Valley Ski Resort. Sanderson spoke after the verdict.
Well, what if all you could do was think about walking in order to keep from this right leg from going the wrong direction?
Paltrow's attorney, Steve Owens.
Gwyneth has a history of advocating for what she believes in. This situation was no different.
The verdict came after 8 days of live-streamed courtroom testimony. Christopher Cruz, CBS News.
In a case reminiscent of Soviet-era arrests of Western journalist Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovich, now is accused of espionage in Russia.
Gershkovich's lawyer said Russian authorities refused to let him into a very quick hearing. The court ruled the journalist should be detained for nearly 2 months. The Wall Street Journal vehemently denies the espionage allegations, and U.S. officials have not yet been permitted to see or speak with him. It is unclear whether this is a tit-for-tat arrest. 6 days ago, the Justice Department charged Russian national Sergei Cherkasov for fraudulently posing as a student while working as an intelligence agent in the U.S. from 2017 until 2020.
Correspondent Margaret Brennan. A Vatican source tells the Reuters news agency Pope Francis spent a second peaceful night in a Rome hospital, a sign he's recovering well from a bronchitis infection. This is CBS News.
Streamline how you hire with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/.
On Tuesday, April 4th, we have a chance to elect people who will do the right thing for Wisconsin and for Waukesha. We need experienced leaders we can trust. Vote for Janet Protasiewicz for Supreme Court, Fred Stram for Waukesha County Circuit Court, and Diane Voigt for Waukesha School Board. Janet, Fred, Diane. Because we can trust them. Vote on April 4th. Your vote and your voice matter.
Paid for by Blue Sky Waukesha.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Greg Bach is here because it is Greg Bach Hump Day Wednesday. Greg Bach, what is this hour called?
The No Sour Ha Ha Fun Time Power Hour.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry.
It's right for today.
It's right for today.
Oh,
it's
you know right. What, Jake? Can you ever be on my side? Ever?
Weekdays 11 to 2.
What do you think got me this job, Greg Bach?
Oh, darn it. Shoot. I'm in.
On Civic Media.
Happy Fun Time Ha Ha Power Hour.
And the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
They can't tell you one thing that Ron Johnson has done to support them. I don't understand that. I never will understand it. I know we've got conservative listeners, but I asked them to point to one thing that Ron Johnson has done to make their lives any better, and they can't point to any of it.
Conversations that hit home every day. The Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings 8 to 11 on Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like her quince's. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
I saw it go. Who's the most fun to drink with of the Republican lawmakers? I saw it go. Todd Alba did decide to text us who's fun to get a drink with in the GOP.
Fantastic.
I saw it go. Todd also confirmed that Robin Voss has virtually no sense of humor.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Wisconsin, have you ever attended a joint finance committee budgetary public hearing? Because how fun does that sound?
It sounds so sexy. Ooh.
If you have, I'd love to hear. I have not. So 844-967-2789. And more importantly, are you planning to go to any of the upcoming four public hearings for our upcoming budget? Because they are starting the day. Is it the first one, Kelda, that's the day after the one in Waukesha? Is that the first one?
That is the first one by the Joint Finance Committee as a whole.
All right. So welcome. I should welcome our guest. State Senator Kelda Royce is back, who also sits on the Joint Finance Committee, JFC, not to be confused with Jesus effing Christ, which...
It's appropriately named, I will say that.
And so I feel like it's getting overshadowed by a certain something that's happening the day before. But these public hearings are really important for people to attend and let everyone on the Joint Finance Committee know what you care about when it comes to the budget, right?
That's right. I mean, the budget is the most consequential thing the legislature does in any session. And especially right now when we have a huge budget surplus, thanks to Governor Evers' sound fiscal management, we can finally do some of the necessary investments that have been missing for decades.
And so there is one in Waukesha on April 5th. And then when mm-hmm. and where are the other three?
So the other three are going to be in Minocqua, in the Dells area, and in Eau Claire. And they're going to be the following week. So next week is just Waukesha. And then it's going to be Eau Claire on the 11th, Wisconsin Dells on the 12th, and Minocqua, well, on the 26th.
Perfect. We'll get those dates and we'll put them in the show notes for everyone who would like to attend. Because I guess for someone, I'm speaking for myself, I have never attended a public hearing like for the budget. And so what usually happens at these things?
Well, it's the chance for members of the public to come and say their piece. So the members of the Finance Committee will, you know, sit at tables and sit there all day, and members of the public can just come, and usually you can speak for 2 minutes or sometimes 3 minutes, depending on how many people show up. And it's just one after the other, and you can say whatever you want about the state budget. You know, what's important to you? Do you want to see Medicaid expanded so more people have health care? Do you want to fully fund our K-12 schools? Do you want to improve the quality of school lunches? Do you want to make sure local governments have more shared revenue? All these things have a budgetary component. And so it's a great chance to not only make sure that legislators hear you, but also make sure that the media and everybody else who's civically involved understands how important your particular issue is.
Our guest is Senator Kelda Royce, talking about upcoming hearings from the Joint Finance Committee. Kelda, I always have this picture in my head of certain lawmakers just scrolling on their phones when people of the public are speaking, because I think they're good at ignoring us. Do they have to listen? Do they listen?
You're not wrong, right? There is definitely some of that. And to be fair, these hearings are long. I remember when I was running a nonprofit and I would come into the legislature and testify, there was a lawmaker who used to eat chips right into the microphone as I was testifying. And they waited 7 hours or something, and she's just chomp, chomp, chomp on these chips. I try to never to do that. I will say that sometimes I'm looking up information on my phone. It's very helpful to be able to fact check, especially if a Republican is making some kind of ridiculous claim, like just happened in the Joint Finance Committee this morning. Making a note and saying, okay, I got to make sure that I refute that when it's my turn to question, and I want to make sure I have the numbers. So there is some very legitimate work, and I'm a paperless person, so I don't have a big paper binder. I look at the budget on the computer. So I would say just don't assume that they're not listening to you, but remember that your audience is not just the 16 members of the Joint Finance Committee. It's also everybody else in the room. It's the media, right? This is our chance to get the issues that we care about covered.
And I think that's a really interesting point that I hadn't necessarily thought of, is the media aspect of it and the power of... The public record of, and not just of the actual record of the hearing, but the public record that will get written about as far as what the journalists heard be said that may or may not be written into the final budget. Because I think that was one thing that we now often reference, was the 9-hour hearing for Fair Maps, where the only person who testified in favor of unfair maps was a certain Chuckle-Meister, Robin Voss. And yet, here we are.
Sidekick, Dane Lemahieu.
Yes.
Yes. They were the only pro-MAPS folks. And so it does really matter who shows up to these hearings and how they get described and reported. Plus, you can go on Wisconsin Eye and then see yourself talk, and you can clip it, put it on social media, and show everyone what a great citizen you are.
Gotta love Wisconsin Eye, Wisconsin C-SPAN. Just...
I think it's really cool. I realize that it might not be everybody's plan for a good time.
It's super important.
I'm doing my best to show you a good time if you come.
Yes, but no, it's super important that we have it, right? That we have the visual documentation of everything that's happening. And then every once in a while, you can pick out the fun, dramatic moments that go down.
That's true. Yeah, sometimes, I've had to pass little notes to constituents after they testify and to say, like, hey, I heard you. That was great. By the way, I'd like to use that in a floor speech.
So I guess I feel like a little bit of the elephant in the room is, so it was Minocqua, Eau Claire, Wisconsin Dells, Waukesha. And I noticed that the three biggest cities in the state are not in that list.
You got that. It's actually the five biggest cities.
Are not on that list. And so
And according to Robin Voss, if you just took out Madison and Milwaukee from the state, it would be a totally red state, because I don't count. My constituents don't count. And apparently he thinks that we're not real Wisconsinites, which is, outrageous
because people vote, not land.
Yeah. I mean, move aside. He does popcorn. If he really cared about Wisconsin, shouldn't he be making cheese? Just saying, there's nothing special Wisconsin about popcorn.
That's the first time I've ever heard that argument.
I love that.
But I guess it is, and I'm assuming that those cities were chosen because there is a heavy majority of who sits on the Joint Finance Committee that are Republicans versus Democrats. And so I guess, could you speak a little bit more on... despite the immense power that the committee you sit on holds, how unrepresented, if that's a fair word to use.
Oh, I think it's very fair.
Okay. So
all the committees in the legislature are lopsided, right? Republicans have a big majority on all the committees. Finance is by far the most lopsided. There are 12 Republicans and 4 Democrats. And so what that means is that, there's virtually nothing that a Democrat can offer that will ever pass in the budget. It's going to be a completely Republican document with no input from the other party that represents half the state. And when you consider Governor Evers, I think you can argue that, you know, we actually represent the values of a majority of the state. And so that's, you know, that's another reason that people need to show up. And they've chosen these areas of the state because they know that they're more likely to have a friendly audience, and also because that is, they're in the districts of these powerful joint finance members. And so it's a way for them to sort of use the Joint Finance Committee hearing process to sort of campaign and buck up their members and get their members more press and exposure. You know, the Democrats on Joint Finance have made it our mission to go to other places in the city. We had a roundtable discussion in Milwaukee a couple of weeks ago that was really great, and we're going to be going to the Fox Valley and to Green Bay just to give people in other areas of the state a chance to be heard.
And so as far as, and I guess this certainly extends to Joint Finance and the budget, but I guess in general, as now this is your second term as state senator, right?
It's my second session.
And as far as the, because I think we to not put so much hopes on what's going to happen on Tuesday, and the, because even if, right, even if Janet Protasiewicz gets elected, the process of a MAPS lawsuit making it to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, like, that is a ways away. And so as far as both as voters and constituents, but also being in the minority in the legislature, like, is our best tools to just keep making noise? Because as you said, you guys are far outnumbered. Anything that you care about, even with the listening sessions, all you can do is document it and make noise about it.
That's true for now. Yes. Okay. I mean, you know, this is the legislature that we have this session, and, you know, everybody should be doing, you know, all the things we need to do to have a healthy democracy. And that's voting, and that's supporting the candidates you like and advocating the issues that you care about with your legislator in public, talking about it with your friends. You know, we need to be doing all of that all the time.
Yep.
And that's true regardless of the outcome of Tuesday's election.
And Kelda, at these meetings, does every member of the Joint Finance Committee, are they all there?
Generally, yeah. You know, unless there's some kind of like a family emergency or scheduling conflict. But yeah, in general, they all show up.
And does that include Robin Voss?
He is not actually on the finance committee, although sometimes it does seem like he is the one pulling the strings. He's the puppet master, but he doesn't actually show up because he is not on the finance committee. He has appointed other legislators to do his work there.
So I guess we'll end where we started. Do you ever go out for drinks with any of them afterwards?
I am looking forward to that, to getting to know some of them a little bit better. Sometimes you see them out at like a reception for, you know, like the Chippewa Valley Lobby Day or something like that. And that's something that used to be much more common. Yeah. And it really, you know, you had more cooperation and collaboration and more human interactions. And the legislature was a little bit more fun.
Yeah.
last session, we didn't get to do that because of COVID, and I was pregnant. And
oh, yeah.
You know, they wouldn't ask that, you know, they wouldn't say that they were vaccinated. And I was like, I'm not going to let you guys kill me. I'm just not going anywhere. But I'm really looking forward to having more informal interactions and seeing if we can put any chinks in the armor for the good of the people of the state.
We love it. We love to hear that. Well, State Senator Kelda Royes, you're always welcome here. Thank you. And looking forward to hear how these sessions go.
Thank you.
All right. Stay tuned. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music, and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Scattered thunderstorms likely today, otherwise overcast. Highs level off around 63. Winds out of the south, 10 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. A mixture of precipitation likely. Lows level off around 33. Cloudy tomorrow. Mixed precipitation likely, 39. A dusting of snow tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 37 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. This is Kristen Bry, and she is Jane Matinair. And coming up next, we're actually going to be talking to the Secretary and CEO of the Wisconsin Economic Development Commission. No, not Commission. WEDC Corporation.
WEDC.
What do you say? WEDC?
WEDC.
Is that what they call it?
I call it that.
We'll ask her.
Okay.
We're talking to Missy Hughes, who's the Secretary and Chief Executive Officer at WEDC, or Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. And because I think a couple of weeks back, we were talking about this new Wisconsin investment fund, and it was $50 million of federal money, but then also, hopefully, knock on wood, potentially some money in this next budget that would go to economic development of both startups and small businesses.
Right.
And so certainly going to talk about that. Also just talk about more generally what WEDC does and its role in Wisconsin. And I also think I'm going to ask her how much or how little our political environment impacts economic development. Because I think there's a lot of people who say the same things as far as we want jobs.
Sure.
We want to attract business. We want
good infrastructure.
Yes. And all of the things that help companies thrive. And so how often is that just lip service? And also, I think sometimes, do companies want to do business here knowing that, it can be a little dramatic sometimes. But maybe it doesn't. Maybe that's just my point of view. And maybe that doesn't really play a part at all. So I'm excited to talk to Missy Hughes about that in our next segment. But for now, we're going to play Three Headlines and a Lie.
All right.
All right. This is the pretty much weekly segment where we, from Morning Brew, which is a newsletter that I get lots of information from. But someday maybe we will have enough bandwidth to create this ourselves based off purely just off of Wisconsin headlines. But for now, they are kind enough to let us use this for a fun segment where we have four different headlines. Three are real. One is not. And I read them off. Jane guesses. You play along at home to see if you can guess and spot the one that is fake, even though all four are...
They'll raise your eyebrows,
they're pretty
right?
ridiculous, yeah. All right, number one. Hitman hires hitman who hires hitman who hires hitman who hires hitman who tells police.
Oh, that's... Okay.
So that is...
Number one.
Number one. Mm-hmm. Number two. Amsterdam launches Stay Away ad campaign targeting young British men.
Okay.
Hacker, this is number three. Hackers say they can access Teslas and make them honk wildly.
That's their goal, is just to make them honk?
I guess. Hackers say they can access Teslas and make them honk wildly. That sounds almost sexual.
Everybody's got to have a goal, I guess.
That's number three. Okay. Number four, the atmosphere of Venus makes lava from the planet's volcanic activity cool enough to touch.
Hmm.
All right, shall we go through me then?
Yeah, three are true and one is a lie.
Number one, hitman hires hitman who hires hitman who hires hitman who hires hitman who tells police.
I desperately want that to be true.
Amsterdam launches Stay Away ad campaign targeting young British men.
I know that's true.
Because you know young British. You're familiar with the...
We were in Amsterdam many years ago, and my husband is British, and we had a not very pleasant exchange with some fellow young male British. Brits. Yes.
All right, well, we'll hear a little bit more about that once we decide which one's true or which one's false. Number three, hackers say they can access Teslas and make them honk wildly.
Okay.
And the last one, the atmosphere of Venus makes lava from the planet's volcanic activity cool enough to touch.
I am picking hackers honking as the lie.
Incorrect.
Oh,
that is real.
That's real.
That is real. So that one's real. You know the Amsterdam is real.
Yep.
So between one and four is a second guess.
Then I guess I'll go with four.
That is true. That one's totally made up. We have no idea if there's lava in the atmosphere of Venus.
Okay, so that's
fake. One's fake. Okay. The other three, the first three, real.
So the hitman who hired a hitman who hired a hitman, and then someone told that's true.
So five hitmen have been jailed for attempted murder after each one avoided carrying out the contract themselves so they could make a profit. This takes place in China. So there was a Chinese businessman who was looking for a hitman to take out a competitor.
As one does.
And the first hitman hired another hitman at half the price and da 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 da. And they all got subcontracted until one finally told the police.
You had one job. Come on.
So that one was real. And I actually saw this as well outside of the quiz, that Amsterdam launches Stay Away ad campaign targeting young British men because they are, they are what you imagine, I think, of some American men on spring break.
Yeah, it's bad.
They warned of rowdy British sex and drug tourists to stay away from their city. No public peeing. It's illegal, is one of the signs they have on the article that is referenced. And so, well, you probably don't have enough time for you to get into your story, but I can imagine.
Yeah, it was. And this was not a comfortable, it was not a comfy time. And eventually the whole group got up and left because it was a bachelor party. And all I could think of was, oh, that lucky girl. She gets you.
And then finally, hackers have discovered a chain of vulnerabilities that could allow them to remotely break into a Tesla, granting control over its infotainment system and letting them turn off all the lights, pop the trunk, activate wipers, and even honk the horn.
Well, now I have a new goal.
There you go.
Something
all right.
To shoot for.
When we come back, Missy Hughes, Secretary and Chief Executive Officer at Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, also known as WEDC, will be here. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News special report. The eyes of the nation are on Mar-a-Lago, Florida, where ex-President Donald Trump weighs his next move following his indictment by a New York City grand jury. This in connection with payments allegedly made just ahead of the 2016 election to an adult film performer. Vinu Varghese is a white-collar criminal defense attorney.
For Trump, the smart thing from a legal perspective is to voluntarily surrender. And then that means he shows up at 100 Center Street and he gets processed.
Trump attorney Joe Tacopina tells CBS CBS News, Trump's legal team expects him to surrender to authorities likely on Tuesday, following discussions with the Manhattan DA's office until late Thursday night. As for the politics,
there is close to a year before we even start the voting for the presidential nomination process. We don't even know for sure the roster of candidates.
Political analyst Larry Sabato, other Trump investigations continue in Washington and Atlanta. CBS News Special Report, I'm Tom Foti.
On Tuesday, April 4th, we have a chance to elect people who will do the right thing for Wisconsin and for Waukesha. We need experienced leaders we can trust. Vote for Janet Protasiewicz for Supreme Court, Fred Stram for Waukesha County Circuit Court, and Diane Voigt for Waukesha School Board. Janet, Fred, Diane, because we can trust them. Vote on April 4th. Your vote and your voice matter.
Paid for by Blue Sky Waukesha.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Warning, listening to the devil's advocates may expose you to opposing views.
It's scary. Maybe I am coming a little bit more over the left, but...
Well, it's not left. It's good governance, Steve.
It's good to be exposed to different ideas, and I do appreciate that you do put that out there on the airways, because a lot of time where you just get a little soundbite of this or a little bit of that, and that's the end of it. You're to be commended for that.
Dave, I'm glad you finally come around to commending the greatest radio show ever, man.
Follow the devil's advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bride.
The issue with Milwaukee schools, just not enough high-quality schools.
Weekdays 11 to 2.
You can talk about everything else. You can talk about the funding. You can talk about school choice and for it or against it. But there's not enough Hope Christian schools. There's not enough St. Marcus schools. There's not enough Kings. There's not enough Reagans.
And until we fix that,
Milwaukee public schools really isn't going to change.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bride on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Wait a minute. How about this? Listen to me, you lantern-jawed cretin, you horned-eyed homunculus. You are going to do what's right for the people of Wisconsin. You're putting cancer water in our water, destroying the greatest university system in the country, and public education. Knock it off. That is unlikely to be said. That's what I'd say.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bright. She is Jane Matinere. And I just checked my Instagram because I'm ADD and, of course, can't just sit still and think during the commercial break. It is apparently National Mom and Pop Business Day.
Perfect.
So there you go, which is a perfect segue into our next guest. Missy Hughes is the Secretary and CEO of Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, also known as WEDC, or as Jane likes to call it.
WEDC.
Does anyone call it
no,
that, Missy?
No, we call it that.
it's my pet name for your organization, Missy.
All right. And so,
if you hear any heavy breathing during this, it's because my pet is walking around having a little bit of a freak out moment here. So I apologize.
It's okay. Good to know. It's not you doing the heavy breathing. Yeah. So I guess, you know, I feel like WEDC is something that gets referenced a lot in news articles, but the average person may not know what you guys do over there. So what is the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation?
Yeah, thank you. WEDC is the state's lead economic development agency. So that means we have a view over the whole state for communities that want to take on a project to improve their main streets or some kind of vibrancy within their community. We talk to businesses all the time who want to expand and they need some resources to make that project just a little bit bigger. So we really have a bird's eye view of the whole Wisconsin economy, what's happening with it, and where we can, you know, put our finger on the scale to try to make things happen and make lives better for Wisconsinites.
So I guess so it's helping businesses, it's helping communities, and is it through a combination of actual monetary resources, but also information and like how to do something? Is it kind of a combination of both?
It's really a combination. So we do have allocated dollars from the state budget that we deploy through grants. We're also responsible for business tax credits. But a lot of what we do is what we call technical assistance. And that's helping communities and businesses actually get the projects done and understand, you know, how do you get from idea and concept all the way through to execution. And we have an amazing network in Wisconsin of economic developers who are on the ground in every community, helping with questions that businesses have about where might I find resources or how do I get this permit? And we work with those economic developers to, you know, understand what they're working on, what their needs are, how we can support them. And then, you know, in turn, how do we support the businesses and the communities?
And so, you know, I think one thing that at least I take pride in is the fact that in COVID times, Wisconsin, I think, unless I'm reading the wrong thing, was basically the number one state as far as giving aid and support to businesses throughout that period of time. And I know a big part of that was the mainstream bounce back grants, which I think you guys have played a huge part in, right?
Well, throughout the pandemic, the governor worked with all of his agency, but in particular WEDC, to understand what was happening on the ground in our main streets. How were businesses doing? You know, how are they innovating? How are they pivoting to do curbside pickup or to, you know, spread out so that people could come into their stores and shop and things like that? And so as we came out of the heart and the really difficult times of the pandemic, we thought, how do we look forward? What do we need to do? We still have some federal dollars. How do we invest those going forward? And there was this group of businesses that had really boldly decided they were going to open up a business in the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah.
And so they couldn't really get, you know, the previous help, like remember the Paycheck Protection Program, PPP, they couldn't get that because they hadn't been open at that time. We also were really looking at the small businesses on our main streets who had survived. And on either side of them, they had an empty space. And I'm pretty lazy. So when I'm driving through a town, I'll admit it, my husband will agree. When I'm driving through a town, I don't want to get out unless there's like a few different stores that look, you know, fun to walk around in. And so it was really important to us to think about, we've got these businesses that have started, we've got vacant spaces, how do we bring those two together? And the Main Street Bounce Back Program was a grant for $10,000. Where a business could receive those dollars in exchange for entering into one of those vacant spaces. So all around the state right now, it's amazing. We've got over 9,500 businesses that have gone into vacant spaces on our main streets, in our corridors, and are up and running right now. Every county, all 72 counties, and you go and visit these businesses who have just started, and they're so excited to have had just that, you know, that little bit of money that helped them grease the wheels and be able to buy inventory or pay rent. Those things that they wanted to do. So it's a really, it's a spectacular program. The governor has proposed another $50 million to continue going. We invested a total of $100 million in all these 9,500 businesses. And so we're hoping to keep this going because the communities loved it and the business owners really loved it.
Missy, can you share what some of the new businesses are? They can't all be restaurants, I assume.
No, I mean, in fact, a lot of them are not businesses, but they're those kind of quirky businesses that you really want to have on your main streets, whether it's a pet store, you know, specific to buying good food and good toys for your pets. It's barbershops and hair salons. You know, a lot of those places really struggled during the pandemic and people had taken their businesses back into their garages and they wanted to get back on Main Street. So they had that traffic. Lots of retail, you know, folks who want to sell different things, whether it's, you know, local artisan wares or things like that. one of the places that I'm that I've seen repeated in a number of communities that I'm most excited about is businesses that are thinking about the mental health of their community. So they're creating places to come together and do art together, or they're, you know, where you can learn and you can bring your kids to come do some art, or you can come and take a class in the evening with other members of the community. And what I love about that is I think it really reflects some of the challenges that we're seeing in our communities around mental health, but also how do you turn that into a business and take advantage of it? And, you know, the reality is a lot, I think about 70% of our Main Street bounce back businesses are women owned, which is really exciting. And, you know, you can think about women thinking, how do I bring my passion to business? And women are often taking care of others. So I think we're really seeing that reflected in a lot of those businesses that are getting started.
Oh, that's so cool. We're talking to Secretary and Chief Executive Officer of Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, also known as WEDC. And that is really cool. And I think, I'm trying to think what the question is here versus the comment, because across cities, big and small, this, like, the vacancy has been an issue, right? Like, I see in Wisconsin Rapids, where my parents live, their main street that at one point when they were growing up, my grandfather owned like three businesses on that main street and it was bustling. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, there's a Walmart. And so it's less so. But even in Milwaukee, and I imagine certain parts of Madison, you know, when you see some like vacant storefronts, it sucks. It sucks some of the energy out versus, you know, hats off to downtown Waukesha, which is where we record. All of the Main Street, like, storefronts are full and you can feel the energy that creates. And so to hear like the incentive program to get businesses there versus really besides this program, I think the only other solution I've heard of this is like a vacancy tax, because often the landlords don't lower their rent. And so that's why they sit empty. And so it's interesting to see a carrot work versus a stick.
Well, and I think what's exciting about this program is a number of the spaces that I've gone into have been renovated. So, you know, there was this kind of, as you say, an empty space, but it was also an ugly space. Mm-hmm. It's like almost like a missing tooth on a main street, right? And the new business has gone in there. They've painted, they've put in a bathroom, they've renovated. So regardless of what happens to that business, there's this new opportunity for economic activity on Main Street. It looks nice. You know, hopefully for the landlord, you'll be able to slide somebody right in there if that business leaves. We've had businesses leave to go buy a new building. They've been so successful. They're like, that was great, but I'm going to buy a new building. And so now we have this empty space, you know. So I just think it's a different way of looking at things. We're hearing from communities that they have, you know, 97-98% vacancy, which is just unheard of in a good way, right? I might have said that wrong. Their spaces are filled, up to 98% of it. And so they're really, you know, and they're saying to me, like, we haven't had this in years and years and years. And it's really changing the face of those communities.
So on the maybe harder side of our economy right now, and we started the show here, is our workforce. And we have in so many different industries a labor shortage. And I would say putting more barriers for people trying to get public assistance is not the way to necessarily get people back to work. But that's a different topic. But I guess how much is WEDC involved in how we get more people to move here, how we get people to feel like be motivated to fill these different industries that are seeing such huge workforce shortages, and what are kind of some of the strategies that you believe in that are really going to move the needle?
Well, I'm not going to let go what you said. I'm going to touch on it.
Okay.
Which is to say, I came from the private sector before this. When someone comes to work, I don't want them to be in crisis. I want them to have had food security that day. I want them to know that their child is in a safe place. I want them to have secure housing. And oh, by the way, they needed to get there, so they need transportation.
Yep.
So I, you know, the idea of taking away assistance and making someone desperate, you know, so that then they go to work doesn't help me as a business owner. It just, you know, it just is, it's counterintuitive. And if you're talking about driving an economy, do you really want to drive an economy out of desperation?
Yeah.
Or do you want to drive it out of moving up and giving people the opportunity to have a better life? As the head of economic development, I maybe it's obvious which one I'm more in favor of. But, you know, and we're working really hard to help remove those barriers. We've been really focused on childcare and on housing and on these different projects to try to remove these barriers. But the reality is, you know, like you said, we need more people in Wisconsin. And the way that we're working on that is right now we're doing a lot of PR all around the nation, but particularly in the Midwest, so that people know about Wisconsin. Lots of folks know cheese and beer and winter. But we also want them to know about the great jobs. We want them to know about the amazing outdoor recreation. And, you know, when they come here, we want them to also see our communities are vibrant and moving forward, like our main streets with the Main Street Bounce Back Program. And we want them to, you know, be able to experience being able to see that they'll have housing and that they'll have childcare. So it's really a marriage of two efforts. One, we're trying to make things better for Wisconsinites. And two, we want to make sure people know that Wisconsin is a cool place to live and work.
Do you feel like some of it is it some of our Wisconsin, I don't want to say issues, but is some of it a PR problem? Is it that when you get out, you know, for those of us, like I am from Wisconsin. I lived away for 17 years. The pandemic brought me back. I have blossomed, I will say, not to be too flowery about it, but like it's been nothing but good for me to move back to Wisconsin. Had you asked me in 2019 if I ever would move back to Wisconsin, I would have said no. And so is some of it a PR problem of people's assumptions of what Wisconsin is?
Well, it's kind of twofold because people do, you know, like I said, cheese and beer, yeah. The Packers might get in there and winter, but it's also Wisconsin has such a personality mm-hmm. that I actually think we have a lot of opportunity. I'm not going to name any states, but you can think of some other states and you don't think necessarily of anything about that state or anything positive.
Is it one of the square ones?
We've got something to work on. Like we have a brand, right? We're quirky. We've got the Packers. We've got cheese. Like at least we have something that people can grab onto. And it's that further step of making sure that people know, like it's not always 10 below zero here, you know, and there's actually, you know, amazing technology and manufacturing and entrepreneurial spirit here. So it is, you know, it's PR, but you know, both ways.
All right. Well, when we come back, I'd love to talk more about the Wisconsin Investment Fund and what's going on as far as startups, because there is a growing both VC and startup community in Wisconsin. Yeah. And that was a world I lived in for a while. So I'm excited to hear what that could look like and in combination with the mom and pop stores, since it is mom and pop national day. But our guest is Missy Hughes, who's the secretary and CEO of the WEDC. If you have any questions for her, we'll ask. If you want to text it in, 844-967-2789. We're going to take a quick break and be back in a minute.
Through the long, lonely nights, she filled my sleep. Body softly swaying to that smoky beat down on Main Street. Down on Main Street. In the pool halls, the hustlers and the losers used to watch them through.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Veterans, whatever you're going through, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Isolated thunderstorms likely today, otherwise cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 63, winds out of the south 10 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies tonight, mixed precipitation likely, lows level off around 34. Mixed precipitation likely tomorrow, 39, cloudy. A dusting of snow tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 37 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere, and we are talking to Missy Hughes, who is the Secretary and CEO at the WEDC, also known as the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. And I'm excited to talk about this because I worked in Silicon Valley. I worked at startups, and I understand what it can do for an economy and for a place to be to bring those kind of fun, new company type jobs. What I didn't realize until I started reading about the Wisconsin Investment Fund is that over the last couple of years, there's been more outside money, VC money, but there's also like Titletown Tech, which I only recently found out about. And so what is the status? I guess first, let's just start with what is the Wisconsin Investment Fund?
So the Wisconsin Investment Fund is an effort by WEDC to create a venture capital fund. So all around the universe, as you mentioned, there are folks who are thinking about how do I invest in startup entrepreneurial companies with the hope that those investments will turn, you know, and give me a much greater return than, you know, the regular market or CDs or something like that. And what happens is a young business comes up with an idea, say, coming out of University of Wisconsin at Eau Claire or Madison, I've got a great idea, I need capital to help make that idea happen. There hasn't been that much capital in Wisconsin that that business can access. It's just the reality of the way that folks here invest and things like that. And a lot of that venture capital has lived on the East Coast or the West Coast, Boston or San Francisco. Well, what happens when you get an investment from San Francisco, they want you to move there because they want to keep their eye on you. They want to know what you're doing. They want to help you grow your business. So we've seen Wisconsin businesses leaving Wisconsin and going to the coast and having great success there. So what we want to have happen is we want to have those businesses find capital here in Wisconsin and be able to stay and grow here and be really successful, you know, hopefully hire people and all of those things. So WEDC was able to use $50 million worth of federal funds to create our first bit of the venture capital fund. We're hoping to grow it. The governor has a proposal to add an additional $75 million to it. And our intention is to work with other funds that are here in Wisconsin and to leverage those funds to really be able to invest in our Wisconsin-grown companies, help them grow, and help them stay here.
Because when you think of Madison, you think of Milwaukee, and even I know in Green Bay, like, we have universities, we have a pipeline of talent that we want to have stay here and work at innovative, cool companies, but we also need the innovative, cool companies to, one, get funded, and then, I guess, as you said, to stay in Wisconsin. Because I think you look at, like, I know being from Madison, Epic changed Madison, like, since when I was a kid, right? Like, the landscape of the population, how many people live there, same with Exact Sciences and stuff. And so I always think about that when I think, now that I live in Milwaukee, of the opportunity there to be a place that people move to because they got this cool job out of school, and now they're moving to Wisconsin. And so, like, I'm really excited about that. And so do you feel like the momentum is there and the support is there? Or is there still kind of, going back to the PR thing, like, selling people on the idea that, like, we could be a startup hub?
You know, I think there's a lot of momentum there. I mean, we have a tremendous amount of research and opportunity coming out of UW-Madison. But there's also... agricultural technology that is groundbreaking, that's being developed here in Wisconsin, because folks know, you know, you see the problem and then you try to find a solution for that problem. And that's the start of a business. Or if you're in manufacturing, you see a challenge on the factory floor and you think, oh, I could solve that by building this whatnot. Well, that whatnot is a new business. And so the real practical application of ideas here in Wisconsin, it's kind of that classic Wisconsin idea, right? That the government and industry and our universities should work together for the betterment of our economy. And so I think there's such opportunity for Wisconsin businesses to be birthed here and grow here. But we need a little bit of, you know, you mentioned PR problem. We almost need a little bit of Wisconsin pride to, you know, say, hey, no, we're going to invest in, you know, right here in our home state and support our companies here. And there's a lot of folks who are really interested in doing that, not only at WEDC, the governor. This is a pretty bipartisan conversation. We've had lots of conversations with the legislature who's excited about this. So I think we'll see some real momentum gain with this effort right now.
Bipartisanship. What?
I know. It's true. It's true.
Missy, I almost fell out of my chair. You gotta give me a warning or a lead up before you drop a bomb like that. That's
because that was going to be one of my questions. Is since you joined the WEDC and are in so many more of the conversations and that happen in the behind doors conversations, how much, or I guess how little, does our unique political environment help or hinder economic development?
Well, first of all, it's a complicated question.
Yeah. You mean with the 2 minutes we have left, you can't answer?
With the 2 minutes that we have left, here's what I'll say. I truly believe that what I see in the communities are people working together and coming up with solutions and really trying to be innovative and creative for problems, you know, around transportation, housing, and childcare. Every community is facing these challenges and people are coming together and trying to work through that. At the state level, the political atmosphere is really challenging because it represents instability. Mm-hmm. And division, and businesses hate those things.
Yeah.
And so, you know, where it makes a life for a business feel unstable and unsettled, you're less likely to take risk, right? You're less likely to be like, oh, this is the place where I really want to grow. So I do think it has an impact at that high level. But then on the ground, I'm so positive about what I see happening in communities and people working together that, you know, I hope that at some point, things will shift, you know, maybe in a week or so, we'll be able to see a little smoothing of the waters.
Yeah,
there.
Absolutely. Well, where should people go to find more information about all the different programs that WEDC is doing?
Yeah, WEDC.org is the best place to start for trusted information. And then we can send you places local that'll provide you some more on the ground help.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Missy Hughes, this was so fun. I'm so happy to have you. Open door. Come back whenever there's something else to talk about that you guys are working on. But thanks for joining us.
Terrific. Thank you so much.
All right. Have a great day. We're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. And when we come back, comedian Ryan Mason will be here, but not as Ron Johnson for the first time.
No.
He will be here as himself to promote his new special about men's mental health. But he's going to make it funny. So don't worry. All right. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Taking care of business. Taking care of business.
Every day.
Taking care of business.
Every way.
Taking care of business.
It's all mine.
Taking care of business.
Working overtime.
Woo. Taking care of business. Taking care of business.
We've been
taking care of business.
We've been
taking care of business.
On Tuesday, April 4th, we have a chance to elect people who will do the right thing for Wisconsin and for Waukesha. We need experienced leaders we can trust. Vote for Janet Protasiewicz for Supreme Court, Fred Stram for Waukesha County Circuit Court, and Diane Voigt for Waukesha School Board. Janet, Fred, Diane. Because we can trust them. Vote on April 4th. Your vote and your voice matter.
Paid for by Blue Sky Waukesha.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and whatever. Just don't text and drive. Visit stoptextsstoprex.org. A message from NHTSA.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.